Okay, so the truth is we really started this last week, and I just want to finish it up. I didn't want to start something else new this week before we finish this. We started the topic of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa we defined differently than everything else in this pattern. In other words, the topic of the series that we're going through right now is Malachas Machshavas. And we're discussing how it can be where, the truth is, when it comes to Shabbos, why Shabbos is not strictly defined by a person's action, his intent, and what he does, plays a very important role. So we began with the concept of Shegeg, someone who does something by mistake. We moved on to the concept of Misasek. We went on to Davar Shein Miskaven. And last week we introduced the idea of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa means a person does something and he has an ulterior motive in why he's doing what he's doing. So the way Rashi explained it was, a person is doing something not because he specifically wants the result in the action, rather he's just getting something out of his way. He doesn't want, in other words, he would rather have not had to come to this situation in the first place. Now that he's there, he's just doing something to kind of move something out of the way. An example of the Mishnah was, there's a person who dies in Shabbos, and he carries the person outside from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Now he's not carrying the person outside because he specifically wants this dead body to be outside. He would be perfectly happy if the body wasn't dead. He's happy if the person was alive. Now that the person's dead, there's a dead body, he doesn't want it here, so he's removing it from his house. He doesn't want it here, so he moves it out. That's one example. Tysus explained it differently. Tysus said that it's when your motivation is different than what they did in the Mishkan. Mishkan, they did everything with a very specific intent. It had a purpose that you were doing it. If your intent is different, then that's Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Now, I didn't point this out last week, and I probably should point it out. There's a very famous psak from the conservative Rabbanim. Now, just by way of introduction, conservative has taken many turns over the past number of years, but there was a point in time when they had their basedin, where they used the Paskin Shilas. Now, sometimes it's good entertainment to read what they wrote, but they're very knowledgeable people who sat on their basedin to make up different psak. Now, one of their more famous ones that it's okay to drive to shul on Shabbos. And why was that? Because they said, what's the problem of driving a car? You're igniting a fire in the engine. You have a combustion engine. It creates a fire. Now, they said, hold on a second. When they made a fire in the Mishkan, why'd they do it? Because they needed heat. They needed to cook the samamanim. They needed to cook the dye to get the colors out. So when you are driving a car, you don't need the heat. Yeah, creating a fire for the heat. So it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. The problem is, as we said last week, even according to Reb Shimon, the way we pass it, it's still also midrabanan. So they said it's not a problem because ain't shuvus b'mikdash, and coming to shul is like a mikdash ma'at. You know, the rabbi always uses the terms mikdash ma'at for the shul. So instead of coming to shul, to violate this midrabanan, to come to shul is not the end of the world. Now that's obviously, the whole thing is predicated on a mistake, because what they're doing is they're saying Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa means that I didn't need it for exactly the same motivation. Now, that's what I want to clarify. Not that Chas V'Shalom, I would assume anybody here is going to come up with such a wild piece of Torah, but just to clarify the idea, what Tysus means is when you're doing something not for the result of the action. In other words, let's give an example. In the Mishkan, they did tzad. They trapped animals. Why did they trap animals? Because they needed the skin. Let's say I'm trapping an animal because I want a pet. That's a malach midaraisa. If you trap an animal because you want a pet, that's a malach midaraisa. You can't say, well, in the Mishkan, they needed the skins, so therefore, if I want the animal as a pet, so then it's a malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa. No. What it means is, I want the result of my action as it stands. I'm trapping because I want the animal. Now, they wanted the animal because they wanted the skin, I want the animal because I want a pet. That's Malach Midaraisa. A Malach Hashem Tzricha L'Gufa means that I am doing it for an entirely different purpose. An example would be, I'm doing tzad not because I want the animal altogether, I'm doing tzad because I don't want to get a bite. There's a snake here, I don't want to get a bite from the snake, so I'm trapping the snake. So it's very different. What I'm doing is, my intent in the Mishkan was because I wanted the animal. My intent now is not because I want the animal. My intent is because I don't want to get bitten. So that's the way that Tosfos understands it. Now, we left off ultimately discussing the halacha. Source number 13, on page number 2, the Shulchan Aruch writes this. The truth is, to go back one. Source number 12. You have a hot coal it's placed on the floor. So the halacha is yachal lechabayis, you'll have to put out the coal. Bein imhi shama taches, bein imhi, that lamed hay is just a source, it's not a real word. Bein imhi shel eitz. Rabam oyser b'shel eitz. Here we're saying that a person's allowed to put out a coal if it's going to cause someone damage. Why? Because when the Mishkan, or the regular normal purpose of kibui, putting out a fire, was because it needed to make coals. Needed to make a coal. So you light up wood, dry it all out, it would get charred, and they put it out, and then you have coals. Now when a person puts out a fire because he just wants someone to get burnt, that's a melacha shein tzrich legufa. So we'll see, we're going to come to at the end of the shir tonight, is the melacha shein tzrich legufa is also midrabanan, except in a case when it's causing someone tsar. Next to lacha, it's the same thing. Source number 13. Shemana shratza mahamurim batayra. So leaving out all the reasons behind this. The 8 different shratzim which are listed in the Torah, hatsadan, if you trap them, chayiv achayil behan, if you damage them, Alf Pishla Yotzim Him Dam, Ela Nitzra Takasa Ark, it's a black and blue mark, Chayiv. Bashar Shratzim, any other sharats which is not normally trapped, and a Chayiv Achayvim, Elm Kin Yotzim Him Dam, you only Chayiv if you cause it to have a blemish or a bleeds. Vatsadam Litzerach, a person traps him Litzerach, he wants them, he wants to keep it. Chayiv, Shle Litzerach, a Stam, the person doesn't trap them for any reason, doesn't want the animal. It's Potter Avalasa. Why? It's Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa. I don't want the animal. I'm trapping it because I don't want it to walk into my house. I don't want it to be buzzing in my ear. I don't want it to be walking on the table. I just don't want it. And then it's going to be Potter Avalasa. Ula HaRambam. We mentioned from the Rambam. The Rambam says Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Chayiv. So that's clearly the Halacha. And we said the Mishnah Berurah, I didn't bring it on the page, says that we paskin like the first Shita, which the Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Potter.
You don't want the sherets to bug you.
Exactly. You got it.
That was a pun, though.
Yes. Now, just before we get into source number 15 and 16, I didn't bring down that Mishnah Berurah. I forgot to put it on the paper. No, it is here. Nope. I didn't. In Siman Shin Tes Zayin, Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Chaf Zayin. Sorry, I forgot to put it on the paper. That's where he quotes this Taisus. This Taisus in source number 18 that says, even though we pass Melacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is Potter Avalasa. In other words, there's an Issa Midrabana for a person to violate Shabbos through any of the ways we described earlier. In other words, a person violates Shabbos with a different intent than the normal intent. He's trapping not because he wants the animal, because he doesn't want the animal to bother him. The halacha is, normally it's isim midrabanan. But when a person is faced with tsar, something's bothering him, if it's hurting him, in such a case, then the halacha is that a person is allowed to trap the animal lechatchil, it's mutter lechatchil, and that's how we pass it. Now, I guess that would be relevant. I don't want to get into specific examples, but it could be relevant if a person finds some type of animal. Let's just give an example. Everyone will agree. A nachash is a snake. Someone, hopefully you never find a snake in your house, but if a person does find a snake in a place where he finds the snake to be extremely, extremely bothersome, he can get a bite from the snake. It doesn't have to be that it's sakanas nafashas. If he gets a bite from the snake and it hurts him, the halacha is, he's allowed to trap the snake lechatchil. He could trap it and get rid of it because you're not trapping the snake because you're trying to collect snakes.
Ten of the bee.
So that's why I didn't want to go into the example of a bee. I personally believe the same thing is true with a bee, but I want to be intellectually honest that I know that when I learned this, I had a lot of opposition. There are many people who said, no, a bee is not so bad. Getting a bee sting was the end of the world. It's not considered tsar. I personally agree with you that if there's a bee buzzing in your ear, the same thing, no one is trying to trap bees because they want, most people are not trying to collect bees. If a person's allergic, it's for sure mutter. Again, it's bothering him. It's malcha shein tzrich legufa. It's malcha tsar. I personally, I'm of the opinion that it's mutter to trap them and get rid of them. Now, there's an interesting case here, which is brought down in the Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Mem. Halacha is, it's also for a person to cut his hair on Shabbos. It's a malacha of geizes, like sharing. A person can't cut his hair on Shabbos. The same thing is true, a person can't cut fingernails on Shabbos. What happens if a woman has to have a tefillah? She has to go to the mikvah on Friday night. Now, we know that halacha is a woman before she goes to the mikvah, she has to cut her fingernails. And so much so that it's like one of these halachas which is it's a major chumrah in Yeridea. She has to cut them, and even if she forgets, it's a big problem if she forgets. But ultimately, what happens over here is, Lumen's Friday night, just go to the mikvah. And she got to cut her fingernails. What does she do? So, in this case, she's not cutting her nails because she's trying to beautify herself. She's doing it for one reason, because her rav told her that before she goes to mikvah, she has to cut her fingernails. So what's the halacha? So, if you skip in source number 15, Behina, it's on page number 3. It's underlined. Behina v'isha shashak chalitol tiparnayim b'arav Shabbos. She forgot to cut her fingernails on Erev Shabbos. V'ilra leil tvilas v'shabbos. She needs to go tovel on leil Shabbos. V'vadei l'chatchila, the first thing, the best possible thing is, nochen la lizar shatayim lo'ev diglilu mitlitlim b'yad. Ask a non-Jew to use her fingers to cut it. V'olei b'kli, don't use a nail clipper. Devim l'cha gemura, don't use a nail clipper. That's Rama. Ach, v'iyashala, now I posit that I don't think any person is going to ask another individual to rip their fingernails off with their hand. It's just beyond it's beyond what we'd consider normal. It's not practical. In such a case, you would even be able to ask a non-Jew to use a nail clipper. Why did Bazem make you machashen shri gufa shen kavanah shalah lahasnais bazer rakasarach tvila? This is a good example. Why is she cutting her fingernails? Not because she's trying to beautify herself, because the halacha tells her she needs to cut it. So in such a case, it's the purpose of cutting the fingernails is different than any other geizes. You're not collecting nails. No one's normal geizes. You're collecting the whatever it is, the wool. We discussed last week that it's possible that the mere fact that you're cleaning yourself, you're making yourself look better, that could be a real malach. But in this case, neither. She's doing it because that's the halacha. So asking a non-Jew to cut it would be mutton. It happens to be, it's just the halacha. If she can't find, practically speaking, she can't find someone to cut her fingernails for her. It says in Mishnah Berurah that she just clean herself well. It's in Sivkot and Gimel.
She should buy her own nails.
No, she shouldn't buy her own nails because she shouldn't do that. But she should either find a non-Jew to cut out the nail clipper, or she should just clean it out well. And it's interesting because in Yeridea, it seems like that doesn't work. But you see clearly that Mi'ikar Adin, if she cleans it out well, then it would work for Shabbos. During the week, it's interesting. Again, if it ever becomes relevant, one should ask a Shaila, but there are many people who would say she has to go back again. Again, I am being careful to say if it ever happens, a person should ask a shayla. But ultimately, that's the halacha. Now, there's an interesting shayla that came to a rav in Eretz Yisrael. So this in the Zilberstein Sefer. There was a chassan who was getting married, and he got very busy Erev Shabbos, the week of his afruf, and he forgot to get a haircut early on Friday afternoon. He ran to the barber on last minute, mamash right before he was closing. He ran to the barber shop, and the guy says, you know, you come so late. You know how it is in Israel. He's screaming at him, what are you coming so late for? I'm trying to go home. I got to prepare for Shabbos. Anyway, the bottom line is, he says, you know what? You're a chassan. I'll give you the haircut. He gives him the haircut halfway through the haircut. You know how guys are Yerushalayim, if people take a haircut, they take everything off. Halfway through the haircut, the guy collapses. He's just completely wiped out from giving haircuts all day. The guy collapses. So whatever, they get him an ambulance. He goes to the hospital. And they take care of him. But now this guy is half haircutted, and with all the hustle and bustle, it's after candle lighting, it's after lich benching, and he wants to know what can he do about this. He's got a problem.
Get a hat.
The hat's not going to cover the whole thing. Ultimately, the bottom line is, and we can't go through all the details, but this would probably be a case where we could at least, again, he's doing it to beautify himself. But in a certain sense, he's doing it that he shouldn't look like a total fool. So we can sort of fit this into Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa. And in such a case, you'd be able to ask a non-Jew to give him a haircut. Now the question is whether having his body, him putting his head in certain directions, the question is, that's already an interesting shaila which comes with regard to a person who gets a haircut and they take off his payas. But ultimately, we pass him a sayeya and b'mamish. So it would be permissible for a person like that to ask a non-Jew to give him a haircut. For sure, during Ben Hashmashas, it would still be fine. Like this, he shouldn't have to show up on Shabbos with his half-shaven head. All right, we'll stop here. Have a great night. Yeah.